Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Pei Dalid. We left off on Daf Pei Gimel and Beis. We are at the two dots on the first wide line of Pei Gimel and Beis. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Zechun Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas, Simcha Alea, Shalom, Shem Shem and Aliyah, also sponsored anonymously the Zechus, a Gemar Chesimatova for all of Klal Yisrael. So we are going to discuss the following things today. First, the Gemara is going to tell us that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who appeared in our Mishnah and said that a husband cannot make a Tanai, that he's not going to be Yorish, his wife, because he can't be Masal Mashikos B'Torah, that Halachas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel V'lav Mita. So the Gemara is going to have four interpretations of what that means, that halacha krem shum gamliel velav mita amei. Then the Mishnah on Amar Aleph is going to talk about what do we do with metaltalin that you owe to a man who has since died, but that man had chovos. He had a ksubas isha, he had balichov, and he had yorshim. So what do you do with such metaltalin that you have, that you owe to such a man? Or if he left perus tlushin, he left metaltalin behind that you don't have, but are they allowed to go and take it? Are the Balichov allowed to go and take it? Or is there some protocol of it going dafka to the Yorshim? Then the Gemara is going to talk about that the Mishnah uses this cryptic term, and it says at some point you give it to the Koshel Shebehen. Who is the Koshel Shebehen? So that is two possibilities, two shitos in the Gemara. Then the Gemara is going to have four explanations of a machlokas whether you return metaltalin that you were toface to Yorshim, meaning we already said the primary discussion is, are you allowed to take them or do you have to let them go to the Yorshim? Let's assume you're not allowed to take them, but you did. You were toe-faced these metaltalin. So then we have a further machlokas amarayim. Do you have to return that metaltalin to the Yorshim? So it's a machlokas, and we're going to have four explanations of what that machlokas is about. Then the Gemara is going to have many, many stories about tfisa, about situations where people were toe-faced that which should have probably gone to the Yorshim, to the Yisomim, and there are going to be like eight stories about that, but only the first four in today's daf. So let's begin at the two dots on Daf Pei Gimel and Beis. So says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if the woman dies, so the husband yarshins her, even if he had made it tonight. He said that dinu dvar mainly and namely esikba and all of the even if he added in all of the language that he wants to add in, because he can't be masal mashkas b'torah, he can't make a tanai against the din in the Torah. So Amarav halach Rav Shimon Gamliel v'lav mitamei. We pass on Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not for the same reason. So my halach Rav Shimon Gamliel v'lav mitamei. What exactly does that mean that we pass on him, but not for the same reason? If not for that reason that you can't be masal mashkas b'torah, then why do we pass on Rav Shimon Gamliel? So the Gemara has four possibilities of what it means. We reject the first three. Possibility number one. That we pass on the Rav Shimon Gamliel that if the woman dies, the husband still yarshins the nichse melug. But v'lav mitamei the Rav Shimon Gamliel savor masal mashkos b'torah to no batal. But it's lav mitamei because the basis of Rav Shimon Gamliel saying this was because you can't make a tanai against the din in the Torah. Whereas v'rav savar, Rav holds that any tanai that's in the davar shabamamon to no okayim, the tanai is binding even if it's against a din in the Torah. In Dine Mamanis, you can make a Tanai against the dinim in the Torah. Why then does the husband still yarshin her? The reason you're not allowed to make a Tanai against Yerush Sabal is because Yerush Sabal is not a din da oraisa. It's only a din da rabbanan. So you would think then, of course, you can make a Tanai against Yerush Sabal. No, v'cham masu chizik l'dvrayim yoser mishal Torah. And sometimes the chum have to strengthen their takanos more than the Dine Torah, because the Dine Torah people will inherently respect. So the Chamim have to build some respect for their Dinim, so they come down very hard on their Dinim. Maybe that's what it means, that we pass from Shem Gamliel that the husband will still Yarshin, but not because you can't make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah. You can when it's about Dine Mamanis, but you can't make a Tanai against a Din Darabanan. And this is a Din Darabanan. V'savar Rav, Tano, Kayim, wait, does Rav really hold that when it comes to Dine Mamanis, you can make a Tanai deny against that which it says in the Torah, va'itmar, but don't we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about the following, ha'omer l'chavero, a person says to somebody else, I'm selling you this object, almanas she'lecha alai ona'a, only almanas, that the dine ona'a won't apply to me, that even if it turns out that I'm price gouging, even if it turns out that I'm charging you 10 times what it's worth, you can't come back to me with a claim of ona'a. So Rav amar, yeshlo alav ona'a. Rav says, sorry, you can't make any such deal. There's a din in the Torah called ona'a, you can't make it tonight against the din in the Torah. Ushmal amar, ain't lo alav ona'a. No, it's dinim amnes, they're allowed to make such a tonight. But you see that Rav, who says, halach ram shungam liyov lav mitamei, holds that even in dine mamanis, you're not allowed to make a tanai against that which it says in the Torah. And therefore we reject the first interpretation of what Rav meant by that, because the first interpretation relies on Rav saying that you are allowed to make a tanai against dine mamanis in the Torah. So now we move on to the second interpretation. What does Rav mean when he says, halach ram shum gamliel v'lav mitamei? Ella halach ram shum gamliel da'amar masa mashkos b'torah tano batel. We pass the ram shum gamliel's concept that masal mashkos b'torah tano batel, that you cannot make a tanai against that which says in the Torah, even by dine mamonis, but v'lav mitamei means dil Rav Shmuel Gamliel sover mesa yirashena. Rav Shmuel Gamliel thinks that an application of that is that in our Mishnah the husband will still yarshin the wife even against his tanai. V'rav sover mesa lo yirashena, and Rav holds that the husband will not yarshin his wife because he holds that yirush sabal is not d'oraisa, it's only midrabanan, and the chachamim do not make a chizik l'divrayim kishal Torah. When it comes to dinim d'rabbanan, you are allowed to make a tanai against that which it's, that which the Rabbanan had said. So says Gemara, but that doesn't fit the language. Hai mitamei v'lav kehilchsehu. That's saying that you're following the logic of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, but not the halacha of Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Rav had said that we follow the halacha of Rav Shmuel Gamliel was that the husband is still yoresh. The logic of Rav Shmuel Gamliel was that you can't be masal mashkos b'torah. This interpretation says we follow his logic that you can't be masal mashkos b'torah, but we don't follow the halacha that the husband is still yoresh. So that is the exact opposite of what Rav actually said. So therefore, we move on to a third interpretation. Ella halacha Rav Shmuel Gamliel damar emesi yirashena, that we do pass that if she dies, the husband yarshins her v'lav mitamei, but lav mitamei dil Rav Shmuel Gamliel savar, because Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds bida oraisa tano batel habid rabbanan tano kayim. Rav Shmuel Gamliel made a point of saying that if you're masal mashakas b'torah, then it's tano batel, implying that had it been a din rabbanan, your tanai would be valid. V'rav savar afilu bida rabbanan tano batel, and Rav says, no, I don't agree with that. I think that Rav Shmuel Gamliel should have gone further. He shouldn't have just said that because it's a din d'oraisa, you can't make a tanai against it, even had it been a din d'rabbanan, which it's not, but even had it been a din d'rabbanan, your tanai would be batel. So it says, but then, hai kitamei, ukilchsehu, v'rav mosehu. But then Rav is in total agreement with everything Rav Shmuel Gamliel said. He's just saying Rav Shmuel Gamliel should have gone further. So that doesn't fit Rav's statement of Allah Rav Shmuel Gamliel v'lav mitamei. He agrees with Tamei. The Tamei is that you can't be masal mashkos b'torah. Rav agrees you can't be masal mashkos b'torah. He just adds on top of that, you also can't be masal mashatikin rabbanan. So Ella, the fourth and final possibility. Halach Rav Shmuel Gamliel damar emesi yirashena. We do paskin like Rav Shmuel Gamliel that the husband yarshins the wife against all of the tanais and the language that he threw in there, v'lav mitamei, but not for the same logic. Dilu Rav Shmuel Gamliel savar, because Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds that the reason the husband yarshins her and his tanai doesn't work is because Yerusha Sabal Doraisa. Yerusha Sabal is Midoraisa. V'kal masal mashkos b'torah tano ubatel. And anytime you make a tanai against that which it says in the Torah, the tanai is batel. V'rav savar Yerusha Sabal drabanan. And Rav holds that Yerusha Sabal is only a din midrabanan. V'chacham masu chizik l'divrayim kishel Torah. And the chacham treat it like a din midoraisa. So the lav mitamei is that the basis of Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel's psak is it's only because Yerush Sabal is midoraisa that your tanai doesn't work. Whereas Rav says Yerush Sabal is not daoraisa, Yerush Sabal is drabanan, and even so your tanai doesn't work. So says Gemara, is that true that Rav holds Yerush Sabal is drabanan? V'Rav sover Yerush Sabal drabanan v'atnan. But don't we have a Mishnah that tells us? Rabbi Yochum ben Broka Omer Hayoresh Hishto. Rabbi Yochum ben Broka says that if a husband yarshins his wife, yachzir libnei mishpacha. When Yovel comes, he has to return the karka that he yarshin from his wife to her family, and they'll pay him for the karka, but v'yinakal min adam, he's got to give them a good price. They don't pay full price for the karka, but they do have to pay him, but he does have to return it. V'avinimba, and we were confused by such a statement, by such a mishnah, because my kasavar, what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka really hold? Ik savrushabal da raisa amayatsir. If Yerushabal is Daraisa, why would the husband have to return it? You only return things by Yovel to people when it left the hands of the proper Yerushim. If it went down the channels of Yerusha Midaraisa, so it doesn't get returned, it stays by the Yerushim. So why would the husband have to return it? V'idrabanan, if he holds that Yerushabal is only Midrabanan, well then, why do they have to pay for it? When you give it back, they shouldn't have to pay for it. They're entitled to get it back at Yovel. So Vamarav and Rav explained liolam kasavar Yerushabal daraisa, that really we assume Yerushabal is daraisa. Ukagon show rishto ishto besakvaros. Yerushabal is daraisa, really he is the rightful owner of this property, but it happens to have been a besakvaros that she owned, that where a lot of the relatives of her family are buried. Umishum pekam mishpacha. So because of pekam mishpacha, am rabbanon lishkol dami v'lihadar. The rabbanon said it's not nice to hang on to a besakvaros that belongs to a different family. Much better for them to have it in their family. So give it back, and you could charge them for it because you're the husband is the proper yoresh. Why does he have to give them a good price? So demei keverishto, he has to deduct the price of the makom where his wife's kever is, because that's his responsibility to pay for. So he's not allowed to charge her family for the value of her kever. Kiditanya hamocher kivro v'derech kivro, and this din that the bnei hamishpacha take the karka of the Beis HaKvaros of their own family, and that it's only appropriate that they have their own family's Beis HaKvaros, is strengthened by the following brisa, that if a person sells his kever and the derech to the kever, ma'amador, the place where people are going to stand to be menachim the avelim after the burial, umakum espedor, the place where they stand to give the hesped, ban b'nei mishpacha, the b'nei mishpacha could come after this fellow dies, this fellow who sold it all, v'kovernos bal karcho, and they can bury him there against the will of the lokeach, mishum pegam mishpacha, because it's pegam mishpacha that random strangers are going to be using your family's burial plot. So Rav explains within Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka that Yerush Sabal is midar raisa, and not like we said that Yerush Sabal is midrabanan. So it seems that we have a problem even with our fourth interpretation of halachar mishum liel v'lav mitame, because the fourth interpretation assumed that Rav says that Yerush Sabal is only midrabanan. So it says Gemara, Rav l'tamid Rabbi Yochanan Broka ka'amar. No, Rav was not saying that Yerush Sabal is Rabbanan. He was saying that Yerush Sabal is Daraisa in this, when he explained this Mishnah. He was saying that Rabbi Yochanan Broka holds Yerush Sabal is Daraisa. But Valelo Svirulei, he himself doesn't hold that way. He holds personally Yerush Sabal is Rabbanan. And therefore, our fourth interpretation is correct. Okay, new Mishnah now. Misha Mesvinich Isho Balchov Yorshin. A person dies, and he has a wife that he owes a ksuba to, he has a Balchov that he owes money to, and he has Yorshim, who are supposed to inherit his estate. Vahailo, Pikadon Amilva Biyadachirim. He has Metaltin. Now, normally, if he just has Metaltin in his own possession, so Metaltin Balichov are Lomishtabdi, they don't go to the Balichov, they don't go to ksuba Sisha, the Yorshim would get all the Metaltin. The thing over here is the Metaltin are Biyadachirim. Other people have the metaltalin that they owe him. So someone has a pikadon, someone has his gemara, his recorder, his phone, they have metaltalin that belong to him. So who do they give it to? The yorshim, the ksuba, meaning the wife, or the balichok? So Rabbi Tarfon Omer, yinasu l'koshel shabahen. You give it to the one that's the weakest among them. The gemara is going to have two interpretations who that means. Rabbi Kiva Omer, ein rachman b'din. We don't just try to have rachmanus on the weakest one. Eli yinasu l'yorshim. Because you give it to the Yarshim, because Kulan Srichan Shavua Vein Yarshim, Srichan Shavua. For anybody else to collect from the estate, they would have to take a Shavua. Yarshim automatically gets stuff. They don't need a Shavua, and therefore you give it to the Yarshim. A similar but different case. Let's say he didn't leave a Pikadon in someone else's hands. He left Peros that are no longer attached to the ground, and the Yisomim don't have it. It's not in the Rishus of the Yisomim. So kolakodim behen zacha behen. Whoever goes to grab it first is the rightful owner of it, whether it be the isha collecting a ksuba, whether it be the balchov collecting a schov, or whether it be the yorshin. But zachse isha yoser miksubasa. Let's say the isha goes and grabs it, and she realizes that her ksuba was only worth $30,000. She just grabbed $50,000 of payros. So what does she do with the extra? Ubalchov yoser alchovo, or the same for the balchov. He was only owed $30,000. He just grabbed $50,000 worth of payros. So hamosar, what do you do with the extras? Rabbi Tarfon Omer Yosef Koshel Shaban. Rabbi Tarfon says, you give it to the weakest among them, and Rabbi Kiva Omer Ein Rachman B'Din. Rabbi Kiva says, no, there's no Rachmanos in Din. Eli Yosef Liyarshim. It for sure goes to the Yarshim. Shekulim Tzrichim Shuvah and Yarshim Tzrichim Shuvah. Because anybody else would need a Shuvah. The Yarshim would not require a Shuvah. So it sounds like in the second case, Rabbi Akiva is Moda, that even though Rabbi Kiva says Ein Rachman B'Din, at least that you're allowed to be Tofes it. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah, that the Balchov and the Isha are allowed to be Tofes the Metaltlin. It's just that once they're Tofes more than they were owed, then Ein Merachman Bedin, then you give it to the Isha. But the Gemara is going to tell us that that's not the case. Rabbi Kiva doesn't even agree with the premise that you're allowed to be Tofes. He thinks Ein Merachman Bedin through and through, and it's all going to go to the Yarshim. So anyway, Lamelim Misa Milva, Lamelim Misa Pikadon. Why does it have to mention both a Milva and a Pikadon? It says that someone who died and he has an Isha and Balchov and Yarshim, and he had a Pikadon, O Milva, the Anacherim. Either someone owed him money, or someone had a Pikadon, someone was a Shomer of his items. So Tzricha, Ditan, a Milva, if it only would have said Milva, Balkam, Rabbi Tarfon, I would say in such a case, Rabbi Tarfon says, you give it to the Koshel Shaban Mishum to Milva Lotzanitna. Because Milva is money, alone, is money that's supposed to be spent. So there's no particular money that you could say really belongs to the Yorshim. Aval Pikadon, Disabay, Nay, Ema Milva, the Rabbi Kiva. But I don't think Rabbi Tarfon would agree that if you have an object that belongs to this man, that belongs to the Yarshim as soon as the man dies, and therefore you don't give it to Ksubasisha or to Balichov. Vita Nahan, if it only would have said a case of Pikadon, I would say Bahakam Rabbi Akiva, that it's only in that case that Rabbi Akiva says that it goes straight to the Yarshim. Aval Bahach, but maybe if it's Milva, which is Lotzan, it's money, it's cash, which is interchangeable, say Ema Modet Rabbi Tarfon, maybe he'd be Modet Rabbi Tarfon that you give it to the Koshel Shaban, because the Yarshim were not Zocha in it, so long as it hasn't come into their possession. So Tzricha, that's why it has to tell me both cases. So my Lakoshel, we keep using this term Lakoshel Shaban, that Rabbi Tarfon says you give it to the weakest among them. Who is that? So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin Omer Lakoshel Shabaraya, it's the one who has the weakest shtar, meaning whoever's shtar is latest, the Zman in the shtar is latest, and therefore he's not going to be able to be motzi from the karkaos of the mace that he had sold before the Zman of his shtar. So he's least likely to be able to collect from the Chasim Shubadim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, look, Subasisha. No, the woman is always considered the Koshel Shaban because she's not accustomed to business practices and to going after people, to being toe-faced karka and these kinds of things. She doesn't know how to do these things. Mishum Chinah. And the reason that she comes before Balchov is so that men will be more attractive to women, meaning women will agree to get married to men if they know that their ksuba is safe, that they're likely to be able, that we make it easier for them to collect a ksuba. So Kitanai, this machlokas Amoraim of who the Koshel Shaban is the same as a machlokas Tanaim. Rabbi Binyamin Omer, the Koshel Shabarayev who kasher, that it's Koshel Shabarayev and that's the right thing to do. Rabbi Lazar Omer, look, Ksubasisha Mishum Chinah, that no, the Koshel Shaban is a Ksubasisha because of Chayn. Then Mishnah said, Iniach Peros HaTzlushin, that if the husband left by not a Pikadon, not a Balchov, but just Peros at a Talush Min HaKarka. So Rabbi Tarfon had said, everyone had said, just be Tofes whatever you can. Questions, what do you do with the extra? So Rabbi Tarfon had said, give the extra to the Koshel Shaban. And Rabbi Kiva said, Ein Merachim B'din, you give the extra to the Yarshim. Rabbi Kiva, Mayer Moser, Kulanami Yarshim Havu. According to Rabbi Kiva, why only the extra goes to the Yarshim? Shouldn't Rabbi Kiva say, Ein Merachim B'din, that it all goes to the Yarshim? Says more, yeah, Ein Achinami. I did Dom Rabbi Tarfon Moser, Tani Ihunami Moser. Ein Achinami. Rabbi Kiva holds it all goes to the Yarshim. But once Rabbi Tarfon used the term Moser, so Rabbi Kiva uses the term Moser, but really Rabbi Kiva holds the whole thing goes to the Yarshim. So says Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Tfisa Lamani Klal. Really, according to Rabbi Akiva, does Tfisa not work at all? Let's say they were Tofes while the guy was still alive. Is Rabbi Kiva just saying that Tfisa doesn't work after the guy died? What if the Balchov or the Ksubasisha would have been Tofes while the man was still alive? Would then they be allowed to keep what they were owed? Amrav Nachman V'husha Tafas Mechayim. That we have a Kabbalah that even according to Rabbi Kiva, Tfisa works only only if he's tofes mechayim. So the Mishnah says that tfisa doesn't work, but that's only when you're tofes lachar misa. Had he been tofes mechayim, tfisa would work even according to Rabbi Akiva. But now says one of the Rabbi Tarfon de manchi hecha. Rabbi Tarfon says that tfisa works even lachar misa. The guy left metaltalin, and you're allowed to be tofes at lachar misa if you're a balchov or you're ksubas isha. Where is this metaltalin that you're allowed to be tofes that the yorshim do not already have control over it? So Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai, it's dafka if these peros are in a rishus rabim, which is a place where you can't make a kinyan, and therefore we could say that the Yisomim are not yet zocha in those peros when their father died. So the balchov or the subsish, the woman could go be tofis the peros. Aval besimta lo. But if it was on the sides of the Rosh Hasharabim, like a Karen Zavis right near Rosh Hasharabim, then Rabbi Tafron would not say tfisa works, because since it's a place where you could be kona b'mashicha, the Yerusha is like a kinyan that takes place in such a location. So if a man dies and he has peros atulshim in a karka in a simta, immediately it goes to the Yarshim. There's no way that the Balchov or the Ksubasisha could go and take it. So now, says Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Dami Tavayu, Afil B'Simta. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish saying, you know what? Tfisa works even in a Simta. V'don Dayne Krabi Tarfon. Now, it happens to be that that there was a Maisa where the Balchov was Tofes Metaltalin after Misa, and the Dayanim Paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, that they're allowed to keep the Metaltalin. V'hadri Reish Lakish Luv Dominayu. Reish Lakish made them reverse the Pesach. He says, no, you got to give it back to the Yorshim, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. Meaning, we have this machlokas tanoim in our mission between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. If a man dies and he leaves peros at a tulshim in a karka, can the ksubas isha or balichov go and be tofes? So Rabbi Tarfon says yes, Rabbi Kiva says no. So one time there was a din Torah, and the dayanim paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Shlok said, no, you got to reverse that Pesach. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva, give it all to the Yorshim. So even though Rabbi Yochanan agrees that we paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, but only Rabbi Yochanan, that we pass on Rabbi Akiva, but only Rabbi Yochanan, Asisa Kishal Torah, you're making Rabbi Akiva like he's a halacha l'moshe Mitzinai. It's a viable machloka. So if they pass on Rabbi Tarfon, you're not going to reverse a psak because they pass on Rabbi Tarfon. So the question is, what exactly is the point of contention between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether you need to reverse a psak when you paskind like Rabbi Tarfon against Rabbi Akiva? Four possibilities. So Leima Bahakam, maybe they're arguing about the following. Demar Savar Reish Lakish holds Tabidvar Mishnah Chozer, that if you make a mistake about that which is explicit in the Mishnah, you reverse the Psak. Umar Savar and Rabbi Yochanan holds Tabidvar Mishnah Eino Chozer, that you don't have to reverse a Psak when you make a mistake about that which is explicit in the Mishnah. Says Umar, look, that's not correct. Dukuli Alma, second possibility. Dukuli Alma, Tabidvar Mishnah Chozer. Maybe everybody agrees that if you make a Tabidvar Mishnah, then you are Chozer, then you do reverse the Psak. Rabbi Yochanan holds, while it's true that it's a standard that we always paskin like Rabbi Akiva against another individual Tana, but we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva against his own Rebbe. And over here, Rabbi Akiva is arguing with Rabbi Tarfon, so we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Tarfon is Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Umar Savar and Reish Lakish holds that halacha afilu me rabo, that not only do we paskin like Rabbi Akiva against other Tanaim of his own level, we even paskin like Rabbi Akiva against his Rebbe. Or a third possibility of what the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is all about. Everyone agrees that we would only paskin like Rabbi Akiva against his other chaverim, but not against his rabbeim. One sheet is Rabbi Tarfon is in fact Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, Umar Savar, whereas Reish Lakish holds chaveru hava, the Rabbi Tarfon was chavero and not his Rebbe. Even though we do find Rabbi Akiva says Sha'altias Rabbi Tarfon, it could be that it wasn't that Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Tarfon. It could be that he was a Talmud Chaver or something like that. And maybe the rule of Halach Rabbi Akiva mechavero velo me rabo is only a rabo that he did not become a Talmud Chaver of. So it could be that's the machlokas. Was Rabbi Tarfon his Rebbe? Did he have the halachic status of his Rebbe or not? And then a fourth and final explanation. explanation of what this machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is about, as to whether your chozer adin when you paskind like Rabbi Tarfon. Everyone agrees Rabbi Tarfon was chavero and not rabo. Mar savar halacha itmar. Reish Lakish holds that the klal is halacha Rabbi Akiva mechavero, and therefore if you didn't do that and you paskind like Rabbi Tarfon, we're machzir the din. You have to reverse the judgment. Umar savar matin itmar. Rabbi Yochanan says we do have a klal that we're supposed to follow Rabbi Akiva against chavero, but only matin, meaning lechachilo we should be noted the psak to Rabbi Akiva. But b'diavad, if we paskin the other way and there's a legitimate tana that holds the other way, we don't go that far to say that we're going to reverse a psak that went against Rabbi Akiva. So maybe that is the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So again, we had a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish in a case where the Beis Din had already paskined like Rabbi Tarfon. Do you reverse the psak to follow Rabbi Akiva? And four interpretations of what the nekudas hamachlokas was. So now the Gemara brings eight different stories relating to tefisa. So, Krevid Rabbi Yochanan, the first one relates to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Relatives of Rabbi Yochanan, Tofus Para Diasmi Misimta. There were Tofes, a Para of Yesomim, that was in a Simta because they were owed money. So, they were owed money by this man who died. So, really, the Para is Metaltalim and Shagor of the Yesomim, but it was sitting in a Simta, so they were Tofes it. So, Asl Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, they came to Din Torah to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was their relative, so they wanted to know, did we do the right thing or did we do the wrong thing? So, rabbis get two kinds of shaylas. Sometimes the shaila is, what should I do? And sometimes the shaila is, how guilty should I feel? Right? Meaning, I already did this, so what should I feel about that? So they came to Rabbi Yochanan. So I'm a little shopping to some tour. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, you did fine. You're allowed to be toe-faced. Nothing wrong with that. Also, meaning, which sounds like Rabbi Yochanan Paskin's like Rabbi Tarfon, that you're allowed to be toe-faced. So also, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, they came to Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Amaluhu, Zilu Ahadur, what are you talking about? Go give it back to the Yisomim. We Paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Tfisa doesn't work. They went back to Rabbi Yochanan. I thought you told us that we did okay. So he says, what do you want me to do to help you? Reish Lakish is just as chashav as me, and he disagrees with me. I can't help you if he paskins against me. Nothing I could do to convince him. Second story. There was a person who was a guardian of behemos that belonged to Yisomim, a cattle rancher of behemos that belonged to Yisomim, Ditafsi Tura Minei, who was Toface, the Balichov of the father of the Yisomim, took a shor from him. So Balchov Amar Mechaim Tefisnei. Now he's definitely not allowed to take it. It's already in the Rishus of the Yisomim. If it's in that, if their cattle rancher is holding on to it, so they're definitely not allowed to take it after the man dies. But over here the question is, when did they take it? So Balchov Amar, the Balchov who took it, said Mechaim Tefisnei. I took it while the man was still alive. Ubakra Amar Lachar Misa Tafsei. And the cattle rancher said, no, you didn't. Yeah, you took it after he died, when you were no longer entitled to take it. So also the Kaved Rav Nachman, so it was Machlokes Metzias. So they came to Rav Nachman. Amar Leis, Rav Nachman said, Islach Sadi Tafsei, do you have any witnesses that they in fact, that the Balchov in fact took this from you? Amar Leis Lav, he says, no, I don't have any witnesses, but he agrees that he took it, he's Moda. So Amar Leis, Rav Nachman says, yeah, but Migud Yachal Lemeimar, Lokoach Ubiyadi, Yachanami Lemeimar, Mechaim Tafisinle. Since he could have come with the Taina that he had purchased it, so we're going to believe him that he was Tofes while it was Mechayim. Because you have no raya that he was ever tofes in the first place, so he could have come with a better taina. So we're going to believe him that he was tofes mechayim. Aye, v'amar Reish Lakish hagodro sein len chazaka. But doesn't that rely on the fact that he's muchzuk in it? And didn't Reish Lakish tell us that a behema daka there is no din of chazaka because behemas just travel around, they walk around wherever they go. So it could have just wandered into his possession also. So there's no din of chazaka when it comes to godros. So answers Gemara, Reish Lakish only said godros sein len chazaka. Godros means a behema daka, shiny Torah de mesira leroa. A behema gasa is something that is given to a cattle rancher, so that doesn't just go around and travel wherever it goes. So you can't say that this guy just found it and brought it home. So there is a chazaka when it comes to cattle. Another maisa number three now. The beinasiya, the people of the Beis Hanasi, tafus amsu diasmi misimta. They took a yeshivcha that belonged to Yisomim, who was in a simta when the father father had died, and the reason they took the shivchas is because they were owed this money. The Bein Nasir was owed this money by this man who died, so they went and they were tofes to the shivcha. So Yosef, Rabbi Avov, Rabbi Chanin, Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha, so three great rabbis sat on the Beis Din, V'Yosef, Rabbi Abba Gabayu, and Rabbi Abba was sitting with them. So Amar Lahu, one of the Yonim said to the Bein Nasir, Shaper Tafsisua, you did the right thing. You were absolutely entitled to be tofes. Amar Rabbi Abba, said, Mishum de Bein Nasir, Ninu, Machnafisalu. What, because they're the Bein Nasir, you're going to be Machnif them? You're going to make them feel good about something that they did that was wrong? Vadon Dani, Rabbi Tafran, Vahadri Shlok, Shuv de Minayu. Didn't we have a case where they've tried to follow Rabbi Tafran's Pesach and Rish Lakish made them reverse the Pesach? So he did like Rabbi Tafran by being toe-faced. You can't make him feel good about that. We have to reverse the Pesach and instead follow the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the fourth Maisa on the bottom of the page. Agamar Chasimatov, everybody.